So this was an extraordinary thing. So I went, I was filming different things, and I went to a mosque.
Mm-hmm. Sono andato in una moschea, stavo filmando cose molto diverse, a un certo punto sono andato in una moschea.
And they were praying in the bottom, and I showed that footage the other day of this praying. And on top, there was a room, and that's where I was introduced. They brought me there. These people, and they had about 7 or 8 men there who fought in various periods against the Russians, with the Americans, with the Taliban, and they were all fighters and incredible human beings, very, very destroyed, but very amazing human beings who were fighters at different periods of different problems that Afghanistan had.
E c'era la gente che pregava, naturalmente, ma poi c'era una stanza con dei combattenti che venivano da luoghi diversi che avevano vissuto diverse fasi di questa guerra.
So we didn't have electricity, and I lit up this scene with this lantern that burned gas or something, and I was filming these people, and I had an interpreter with me, and she was a woman from she was Iranian, and she spoke the language.
Avevo con me un interprete, non c'era elettricità, quindi illuminavamo la scena con una lanterna e avevo questa donna iraniana che faceva da interprete.
Now this was already amazing to have a woman with me in this situation because of the role that women play in that society.
Ed era già abbastanza assurdo avere una donna con me in una situazione come quella.
So all these men, and they were like deformed, their arms were, you know, broken off, and they were, you know, because they were all survivors of war.
Ed erano, e questi uomini erano tutti deformi, alcuni senza braccia perché hanno tutti subito dei gravi traumi durante la guerra.
And so I'm filming all these war stories and sort of intuitively trying to understand everything. The images are really beautiful. And then I started seeing something. I was looking at all these men's eyes, and they all looked like the heroin addicts that I knew in New York years ago.
Cercando di filmare queste persone in una maniera molto intuitiva, no? I loro corpi, le loro essenze, così a un certo punto mi sono reso conto che tutti i loro occhi erano simili, avevano qualcosa di simile e che me li faceva ricordare molto i drogati di eroina di New York.
And I learned that they were all addicted to opium, and they were all high, and really high. And they were existing this way because of the pain they suffered. But this was under this. The interesting thing was that this drug was not talked about. The Americans didn't want to deal with this. There was this kind of secretive aspect of all this. But these guys were completely high, and they didn't want to talk about it. But they were all users, and they were users of both heroin and opium.
E questo era a causa del fatto che per via anche dei traumi che avevano subiti. Facevano tutti ampio uso di oppio ed eroina.
So the other side of the story is, you brought it up, so I'm talking about this. The other side of the story is that I went to the second president. There's like the president, and there's like the various presidential, you know, people in power. And I went to a party that was thrown by the second in line.
Like a vice president?
Like, kind of like a vice president, mm-hmm. A young guy who studied in America.
While you were in Kabul.
In Kabul.
Okay. E sono andato a questa festa dove c'era una sorta di vicepresidente.
So this guy, and this is why I think punk is important, because it cuts through all the bullshit. This president, and you know, okay, Afghanistan is a Muslim country, alcohol is not allowed, men can't look at women, you know, there's no sex allowed, all this kind of stuff.
In Afghanistan, come sapete, ci sono tutta una serie di restrizioni legate all'alcol, alle relazioni tra uomini e donne.
So we, young boys, who they locked the doors, and there was only about 4 or 5 of us in this room.
C'erano solo 4 o 5 di noi in questa stanza. Avevano chiuso le porte.
And young boys were taking food out and bringing food to us.
E c'erano questi ragazzi che portavano il cibo.
And then they put on. They had a big video screen.
C'era un grande schermo.
And they were watching Indian films of women dancing, which is not allowed there.
E guardavano dei film indiani con delle donne che ballavano, il che non era permesso.
And this is kind of like almost pornographic, but not pornographic. But for them, it was pornographic to watch this.
Qualcosa che anche se non era pornografico, strettamente per loro era pornografico.
And this vice president brought out a bottle of cognac.
E questo vicepresidente ha portato una bottiglia di cognac.
And it's illegal to have alcohol there.
Non è legale avere cognac.
And he was drinking it like champagne.
What?
Like champagne. He was drinking like champagne.
E lo beveva come fosse champagne.
I mentioned this because on one hand you have this heroin thing happening, on the other hand you have this disgusting fucking vice president breaking all the religious rules, and if like a normal person like somebody here would be doing that, they would get killed, you know, they would not allow that.
Ve lo dico perché appunto c'erano tutte queste restrizioni all'esterno di questa stanza e qui invece c'era questo schifoso di vicepresidente che faceva tutto
so
quello che voleva.
So that's kind of a punk story.
E anche questa è una storia punk. East of Paradise, I'll say something about that. East of Paradise è un po' considerato il capolavoro di Kowalski, l'abbiamo proiettato proprio in apertura della retrospettiva perché è un po' la storia della vita di Kowalski, ma una storia che prende il via dalla storia di sua madre. La madre di Kowalski è stata deportata dalla Polonia alla Russia, ai gulag sovietici, è scampata a queste atrocità. In qualche modo è il film che parla profondamente della sopravvivenza, di cosa vuol dire sopravvivere a un regime autoritario. È un film spettacolare perché è spezzato in due parti che difficilmente sembrano coesistere, che Kowalski invece riesce a far coesistere, con una seconda parte in cui la storia del figlio si rispecchia in quella della madre e in qualche modo cerca di fare i conti con la durezza della vita vissuta dalla madre, raccontando la propria, raccontando come lui è sopravvissuto a questo mondo dove invece i suoi amici uno dietro l'altro morivano. I don't know if you want to say something about East of Paradise. I told the story of...
East of Paradise was difficult to make.
East of Paradise è stato molto difficile da fare. The first part or the second part?
The second part was difficult.
In particolare la seconda parte.
Because of the montage. I can just say something simple about it. The second part of the film has music from beginning to end.
La seconda parte è stata difficile, come dire, costruire un montaggio e c'è musica dall'inizio alla fine.
And I took out the Sex Pistols music and I put in Charlie Mingus music over the Sex Pistols.
You mean in the first time there was Sex Pistols or?
In the second part.
Okay.
I didn't use any Sex Pistols.
Oh, you
I
didn't,
just
yeah.
Images,
yeah.
But I used Charlie Mingus music.
E in questa parte io avevo filmato i Sex Pistols, ma ho tolto la musica dei Sex Pistols e ho usato quella del jazzista Charles Mingus.
But you know, but the thing is that I don't like using music in my films unless it's a part of the story. But in this film I broke that rule and I the second part of the story has music completely different kinds of music completely from beginning to end and it's was kind of and it kind of worked in an amazing way.
No, non mi piace normalmente utilizzare la musica nei miei film, ma in questo caso la scelta era in qualche modo creava un contrasto molto forte, quindi mi piaceva l'idea.
And you know, it's like this is not film school, right? So.
Ah sì, ok. Non siamo in una scuola di cinema, quindi non siamo qui per raccontare. Non so. Avete curiosità? Volete vedere ancora un pezzo del cinema di Kowalski? Sì. They, I think they'd like to. You want? Devi fare una domanda? Anche in italiano.
About drugs? Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Ci vuole un translator. We need.
Vabbè, gli volevo chiedere, infatti, a lui la persona ha una risposta che mi è servita su perché si trovano gli artisti fondamentalmente. È meglio non spiegare certe cose perché in pratica la gente se ne dovrebbe figurare un po' da sola. Cioè, gli devo dire perché uno esce la sera, si beve un drink, perché poi decide di pensare un secondo, cioè, se ci pensi bene ce l'abbiamo tutti la risposta. And the other day I read 3 days ago about Lars von Trier, another director, an extreme director somehow, and he made a declaration about drugs and he said that the fuel, cioè che il carburante in pratica per la sua arte erano state l'alcol e le droghe, e che adesso che lui si è disintossicato probabilmente non girerà mai più un film, anzi per girare l'ultimo, siccome si sta disintossicando ci ha messo 10 volte quanto ci ha messo a fare gli altri. So he said that no way, now there is detox, he's not going to make another movie because it took him so long to make it. last one because it was the doctor that probably is not going to have a make one. Mm. So this is like a thing that everybody, if you talk about drug addicts, se tu parli con alcuni ai tossici, c'è quest'idea della maledizione che dopo una vita tossicodipendente non si possa mai più riuscire, soprattutto se ne esci, no, a tornare quelli che sei una volta, no? Cioè, the drug addicts think that you're somehow doomed after, you know, 10 years that you make drugs. Even if you come out, you're never going to be the same as you used to be before, you know. This is what comes out of the last one, clear also, you know, declaration. So I don't think it's like that. What do you think about it?
Okay. I mean, Jesus, how do you talk about drugs? I mean, you know, it's like, you know, I'm very neutral about this drug thing, you know. I mean,
io sono abbastanza neutrale sulla questione delle droghe.
You know, we all go through our own things that we have to go through in our lives.
Ognuno fa I propri percorsi.
And you know, I went through a drug period, but I never was addicted on this level. You know, I was much more interested in being creative than being a fucked up junkie or taking a lot of drugs.
Io ho avuto I miei periodi con le droghe, ma mi interessava molto di più essere creativo che assuefarmi e sballarmi completamente con le droghe.
And I've had a lot of different experiences with drugs myself, but never to the point of like such of being so the desire to be so intoxicated that became more interesting than something else.
Quindi ho avuto le mie esperienze, ma mai al punto da intossicarmi a tal punto da perdere cognizione di tutto il resto.
I mean, in terms of creativity, cocaine is terrible for creativity, for me.
Ad esempio, per me la cocaina è assolutamente dannosa a livello creativo.
Smoking grass usually made me paranoid.
Fumare erba mi rende paranoico.
Heroin is quite interesting.
L'eroina è interessante.
The opiates are interesting.
L'oppio anche.
Now, I don't advocate any kind of drug use for anyone because it's everybody has to go through their own trip. But when there was a period when a little bit of heroin when you're editing is quite interesting.
Non voglio consigliare a nessuno l'uso delle droghe, ma devo ammettere che in fase di montaggio l'eroina può essere utile.
And I you know, I have writer friends of mine who love to drink and can't write without drinking.
You have friends that
like writers, yeah.
Io ho tanti amici che scrivono e che non riescono a scrivere senza bere.
But I mean, you know, what he's saying, I don't really necessarily believe what he's saying.
You met someone that came completely out and
happy life after drugs?
Yeah.
Chiede se ha conosciuto qualcuno che si è disintossicato e ha vissuto felice.
I mean, look, I have to think about this, you know, because I can't remember, you know. I can't remember, but I know...
Ci dovrei pensare.
I mean, it's kind of a bourgeois way to look at things, you know. It's like total bullshit to think about things like that. Because, like, either you know, like, maybe they're more fucked up when they're not on drugs. You know what I mean? It's like I don't know how to, you know, like, if you want to do drugs and you are functioning or whatever, it's like you know, you go into that kind of world and you deal with things, but if you survive and decide not to do the drugs, it's, you can't just say, well, this was my bad period or something like this. I you know, it's like I think that we have to look at drugs in a different kind of way.
Bisogna stare attenti perché si rischia anche di ragionare in maniera molto borghese su questa faccenda, perché ci sono persone che sono molto più sballate quando non si drogano, e quando si drogano invece riescono a fare I conti con quello che sono a volte.
So I don't care one way or the other, you know. I'm going to be totally like, I don't give a shit. Yes, drugs, no drugs.
Sì o no?
It doesn't mean anything. You know, it also has to do with your how old you are, you know, this kind of stuff. You know, my friend Tom, who killed himself, he killed himself because of drugs.
Il mio amico Tom si è ucciso a causa delle droghe. Produttore di cui si parlava.
So you know, you know, I know very creative filmmakers, very famous ones, particularly a woman in New York who was a junkie for a long time, and she was quite creative, but then it ended, you know, but not because of the drugs, but for other reasons. So I don't know. I mean, I would prefer to leave it that way, you know.
insomma, ha detto, riassumendo brevemente quest'ultima cosa, ha detto che non ha a che fare con l'uso delle droghe o meno, che conosceva questa regista che era molto creativa quando si drogava, poi ha smesso e non ha più combinato.
But let me tell you another kind of drug story, okay?
Vi racconto un'altra storia a base di droga.
When her, in New Orleans, what was the name of that hurricane there? Katrina. When Katrina hit New Orleans, there were a lot of black people stuck in this stadium, mm-hmm. who couldn't escape from New Orleans because A, they didn't have money, but B, because they had some severe problems with certain kind of drugs.
Quando è arrivato l'uragano, dopo l'uragano Katrina, come sapete, c'erano tutte queste persone rinchiuse dentro lo stadio e non potevano andarsene, uno perché non avevano i soldi per farlo e due perché avevano dei enormi problemi con la droga.
So, but let's talk about why a lot of poor people in America are addicted to drugs.
Parliamo di come mai così tante persone povere negli Stati Uniti hanno problemi di droga.
And these are legal drugs, you know, these are pharmaceuticals.
E si tratta di droghe legali, farmaceutiche.
Because the government gives them money.
Perché il governo dà i soldi.
In order to sedate them.
Per sedarli.
Because they have a lot of severe problems because of their social economic background.
Perché molti dei loro problemi hanno a che fare con il loro background sociale.
But that money is never given to them, you know, they don't get that money in their pockets. That money is going to the big corporate pharmaceutical companies that are making a lot of money off of these poor people.
Sono soldi che non vanno nelle loro tasche, ma in quelle delle grandi corporazioni farmaceutiche che fanno molti soldi sulle spalle di questi poveracci.
And this is part of kind of a neoliberal kind of policy about, you know, oppressing and suppressing the people. So I think, you know, that we have to look at the whole drug thing in a very big way.
E questa è una sorta di politica neoliberale che va per la maggiore adesso.
And you know, these are people that are third, fourth, fifth generation people who don't have an education, have no support from the government, and who are being used by the multinational corporations to earn a lot of money from them. You know, so you know, there's a lot of ways to look at this. I mean, why does Afghanistan have such a huge harvest and so much money coming in from this opium? I'm sure there's a very good reason for it, you know. So I don't know. We're talking about drugs, so these are things that I have, because I've thought about this. I did a film one time with a guy who was a white supremacist who went to Chechnya, and he came back, lost his leg. And he was severely addicted to drugs. And this addiction was about not having proper medical attention.
I'm not sure I understand. Okay.
So anyway, so...
Stava parlando di Camera Gun, che è un film... It's Camera Gun, the movie you're talking about. Ipocondriaco? No. Was he... Hypochondriac? No,
not at all. No, he was just. I mean, what I'm saying is that this drug thing has to be looked at in a lot of different ways. It's you don't have to.
Ci sono molti modi di guardare a questo problema della droga. Va bene. Vogliamo far vedere un pezzo di qualcosa? Sì.
Che fine ha fatto la fabbrica di stivali?
He's asking what happened to the boot factory.
Ah, the boot factory was and is very successful.
Is it been successful?
Yeah.
Ha avuto molto successo.
Yeah. I mean, they're not millionaires.
Non sono milionari.
But they were able to make it work, and of course they had problems, you know, with, you know, like everybody has with their businesses and stuff. But these were, I wouldn't call them anarchists. These were artists who decided to make a factory.
Erano degli artisti più che degli anarchici che avevano deciso di mettere in piedi questa attività, questa fabbrica.
And it's extraordinary that these kind of people can make a very good living doing something as artistic as that, but at the same time it's not just art, it's a functional item like a shoe, and they made it work, and they people raised families, they had children. You know, some became junkies and this kind of thing, but it was a really very successful enterprise.
Ed è interessante pensare, è bello pensare che queste persone siano riuscite poi a mettere su famiglia, non tutti, perché alcuni poi hanno avuto dei grossi problemi, ma facendo allo stesso tempo qualcosa di estremamente artistico, ma anche di pratico, di costruttivo, di
ma sempre
utile.
Spazio occupato in una fabbrica.
Is it still a spot place for the
they move to another place, and somebody else owns it now. And the guy who started is living in England.
Si sono spostati, adesso il ragazzo che l'ha fondata vive in Inghilterra.
Ma questo film, The Factory, è un film che rompe un po' la crisi creativa che ha avuto negli anni 90, perché è il primo dopo sì, quasi 9 anni di silenzio. È stato fondamentale per lui uscire fuori.
Sì, la cosa interessante è che a un certo punto della sua vita Kowalski va via dagli Stati Uniti per andare in Europa. E chiaramente, maybe we can ask you why at a certain point you left America behind and you came back to Europe.
I should have left America like much earlier.
Avrei dovuto abbandonare l'America molto tempo prima.
There was a lot of reasons to leave America. One of them was because there was no place for me in America. I mean, I couldn't raise money for films in America.
C'erano tanti motivi per cui lasciare gli Stati Uniti all'epoca. Uno dei quello più importante per me è il fatto che non riuscivo a trovare i soldi per fare i miei film.
And also because Bush was president and America changed severely.
E poi perché Bush era presidente e l'America stava cambiando radicalmente.
And I just don't. I it's not a place that I like. It's not a place that I can support. I don't feel comfortable in America as a creative person. And I don't feel comfortable there as a person who wants to be connected to real life.
E non mi trovavo a mio agio in America né come artista né come persona a cui piace essere in contatto con la vita vera.
So this is why I left. But also if I hadn't left, I think that I probably would have not continued to make films.
E credo che se non me ne fossi andato, forse avrei smesso di fare cinema.
Because in the 90s, I mean, I think I should have left America in 1980, or maybe after making Rock Soup.
Forse avrei dovuto abbandonare gli Stati Uniti dopo aver fatto Rock Soup, quindi nei primi anni 90.
But actually, the 90s were interesting. It's not that I made so many films, but I shot a lot of footage.
No, non ho girato film in tutto quel periodo, ma ho girato molto materiale.
Thousands of hours of footage.
Migliaia di ore di girato.
And it was. I think it was the 90s were a period of trying to see things because not really telling stories, but trying to just survive and to document and not for me not really having a story to tell.
Era come se non avessi una storia da raccontare, ma continuavo a sopravvivere documentando quello che vedevo, che c'era intorno a me.
But I used some of that footage, for instance, in East of Paradise, another film.
Ma parte di questo materiale l'ho usato in East of Paradise e in Born to Lose.
And Didi Ramon.
E in Didi, nel film su Didi Ramon. Forse potrei chiedere io ancora, poi magari ci dobbiamo un po', ma facciamo partire. No, siamo liberi. I want to ask you about this. Okay, perché dovete sapere che negli anni 90 in realtà Alex sono stati commissionati dei film dalla Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, no? You told me a funny story about the Robert Johnson thing. E uno di questi film forse doveva essere addirittura il primo di tutta questa serie dedicata alle grandi personalità che avevano, fondato il rock. Riguardava il bluesman Robert Johnson. But what happened to this Robert Johnson? Robert Johnson, no? Conoscete il bluesman nero?
Do you know what the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is?
Right? Sapete cos'è la Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Di Cleveland,
so,
right?
Yeah, it's in Cleveland, but it's a museum set up by the music industry for rock and roll.
È un museo che è istituito dalla industria musicale per il rock.
So every year they induct musicians as whoever the musicians are, they induct them into the museum and they have an exhibit for them, and they are these great musicians who are very important for the music industry.
E ogni anno eleggono dei musicisti che si esibiscono all'interno del museo, che entrano a farne parte, sono naturalmente musicisti molto importanti per l'industria del rock.
So they hired me to make films and be kind of a director of this whole thing.
E quindi mi hanno chiamato a dirigere un po' la realizzazione dei film intorno a questi personaggi.
Not the director of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but the director of these films, yeah. And things. So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is located in Cleveland, which is it's an area with a lot of highways and it's very white oriented.
Cleveland è un'area a forte maggioranza bianca.
And one of the exhibits they wanted to make was the story of Robert Johnson, who was kind of the father of rock and roll, because of his style of playing music and his attitude.
E uno dei filmati, una delle storie che dovevo fare riguardava Robert Johnson, che è uno dei fondatori in qualche modo del rock and roll attraverso la maniera in cui suonava.
So I traveled around America filming scenes and making it was a very bizarre project. In fact, Rudy Wurlitzer, we hired Rudy Wurlitzer to write the scenario, and he's the one who wrote Two Lane Blacktop.
Ah, okay. E per scrivere la sceneggiatura, insomma, di questa storia su Robert Johnson, avevo Rudy Wurlitzer, che è lo sceneggiatore di Strada a doppia corsia di Monty Hellman.
And so we worked on this project for a long time. It was a very important project for us and for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Abbiamo lavorato a lungo su questo progetto che era molto importante per me e anche per la Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And a very big budget.
Su un budget particolarmente grande.
And so we finished this project and they decide, and it was supposed to be the project that you walk in and you see first when you come into this museum.
E questo era il progetto che in qualche modo doveva aprire il museo, cioè il primo che vedevi quando entravi.
And they canceled it.
E poi l'hanno cancellato invece.
And they canceled it because they said that you cannot have a black musician at the beginning of the rock, you know, when you enter the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because most of the people that come there are white.
E il motivo per cui l'hanno cancellato è che non si poteva avere un musicista nero ad aprire questa carrellata sul rock bianco in una città popolata da bianchi.
And if you go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which I have a few times, there are not many black people that go there.
E se andate a visitare la Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, vedete che effettivamente non ci sono molti neri dentro.
So I don't know what happened subsequent, because I quit, but this, that exists, that exhibit didn't exist when I was there.
Non so poi come è andata a finire in seguito, ma all'epoca questa cosa era stata completamente annullata.
Due parole su Hitler Highway. Come ti è venuto in mente di fare un film del genere? E poi a me quel film mi è piaciuto perché fa vedere che il cinema di Kowalski è un cinema che fa muovere le cose, è molto correlato all'azione. Film, praticamente c'è questa autostrada e lui si inventa una sceneggiatura strada facendo.
About it, my interview and the way you create a screenplay on the path along the road. So it would like to know how the project started and why.
Voi sapete, Hitler's Highway è davvero uno dei capolavori di Kowalski. Il resoconto di questo viaggio lungo l'autostrada costruita da Hitler attraverso la Polonia per invadere la Russia, chiaramente durante la Seconda Guerra Mondiale, che adesso, o almeno nel momento in cui ha filmato lui, ma parliamo degli anni 2000, è popolata di prostitute, è popolata di derelitti di ogni tipo.
I mean, you know, sometimes you just make a film because you have a feeling about something, intuition.
A volte si tratta solo di un'intuizione, cioè della capisci che devi fare un film su un certo argomento.
And I was finishing a film. I was finishing shooting The Boot Factory.
Stavo finendo di girare The Boot Factory.
And I was traveling to a rock and roll concert in the western part of Poland.
E stavo andando a un concerto rock nella parte ovest della Polonia.
And we drove for a while as we were going to this rock and roll festival on this highway that was this amazing place. It was two lanes here and two lanes on this side. And it had this, it looked like it was the Opinion Way, you know, it's very old. And when you're driving on it, because of the way it was built, the car goes, and I said to my friend, what is this? And he told me the story about this. And this was the beginning of this.
E per raggiungere questo festival abbiamo preso questa autostrada con tutti gli alberi accanto, e la strada faceva, perché è fatta di lastre di cemento, di pietra, e faceva tutum, 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 e ho chiesto al mio assistente, al mio amico, che strada era, e lui mi ha raccontato la storia dell'autostrada di Hitler.
So then I learned about this highway that it was made by the Nazis. It was going to be the idea was for it to go to Moscow, and it was built essentially to create an autobahn system around Europe, and it was also made to accept airplanes, and it was made by slaves and a lot of Polish people before the war and others were buried under this highway as they were making it. That's why I decided to make this film.
E la storia drammatica di questa autostrada, che era stata costruita dai tedeschi per creare una rete di autostrade dove potessero addirittura atterrare anche gli aerei. Questa in particolare era costruita per arrivare fino a Mosca, era stata costruita da degli schiavi, e molte delle persone che vi avevano lavorato erano sepolte sotto la strada.
But you know, the thing is about when you make a film about a highway, it's very difficult because there's, you know, it's hard. Things don't happen on a highway; you have to find them. So when I arrived to the highway, it was a very difficult moment because suddenly I had to figure out how to try to find a drama there. And then as I was making this film, I realized something. It was that all of Poland was in fact Hitler's highway, and I went off the road to film scenes that were connected to this road. But I also became interested in gypsies at the same time.
E la cosa più difficile da fare era capire che storia raccontare su questa autostrada, e ho capito che la chiave era il fatto che questa l'intera Polonia era questa autostrada. E un'altra cosa molto importante riguardava il fatto che intorno ci fossero molti villaggi di zingari.
And that's the story of that. I mean, it's a longer story, but this is the essence of it.
La storia è molto più lunga di questa, ma in qualche modo ne ho raccontato l'essenza, sì. Io chiederei se ci sono domande, poi magari dovremmo anche lasciare un po' la musica e fare un po' festa, così poi domani Lex si deve svegliare molto presto, lo portiamo in Svizzera a insegnare in una scuola, quindi, e oggi era in Francia, è appena tornato, quindi è anche stanco. Chiederei se c'è magari una domanda ancora da rivolgergli, se no poi beviamo e ascoltiamo musica tutti insieme.
La vedo, una domanda classica a quello che sta facendo adesso.
Last question is, what are you going to do now?
I have. I mean, this is always a problem.
Questo è sempre un problema.
I have a. I wrote a screenplay.
Ho scritto una sceneggiatura.
That I want to do with non-actors.
Che vorrei fare con attori non professionisti.
Sort of a science fiction thing.
Una specie di film di fantascienza.
And I may go to Mexico to make a film there now.
E penso di andare a farlo in Messico.
And the film is about the situation that's going on in Mexico.
E il film riguarda quello che sta succedendo in questi giorni, in questo periodo in Messico.
Where these students were kidnapped.
Dove sono questi studenti che sono stati rapiti.
Mexico is a very important country in this world right now.
In questo momento nel mondo il Messico è un posto molto importante.
Because it has a critical position in the neoliberal dream.
Ha un posto di rilievo nel sogno neoliberale.
Which is also connected to drugs.
Che è anche molto legato al problema della droga.
In 2008, when we had the world had the financial crisis.
Quando nel 2008 si è avuta la crisi finanziaria mondiale.
A very big reason why the financial crisis didn't go full tilt destruction.
È un motivo per cui la crisi non ha investito il mondo distruggendolo in qualche modo.
Was because a lot of this billions of dollars from this drug trade in Mexico were put into the banking system to support American banks.
È stato perché miliardi di dollari derivati dal mercato della droga sono stati inseriti nel mercato nell'industria americana, nelle banche americane.
And the Mexican government is essentially an American government, American-backed government, and there in the last few years $40 billion was put into the system in America and in the world. From Mexico to launder all this money.
Tanto che in qualche modo potremmo dire che il governo messicano è un governo americano per via di tutti i soldi che il Messico ha fruttato agli Stati Uniti.
When I don't know if you know what NAFTA is, the NAFTA trade agreement.
Non so se sapete dell'agreement NAFTA.
When NAFTA was brought into Mexico, the first thing the Mexican government did was to lower down the wages of their workers so they can compete with China.
Una delle prime cose legate a questo agreement è stata abbassare gli stipendi degli operai messicani in modo che potessero competere con quelli dei cinesi.
It's the third largest trader with the United States.
Ed è il terzo maggior commerciante con gli Stati Uniti adesso.
They make more flat screens than China.
Producono più schermi piatti di quanti ne produce la Cina.
The average person makes 80 euro a month.
Il guadagno medio di una persona è 80 euro al mese. Yeah.
The people are deeply suffering there.
C'è molta sofferenza.
And there's a story I want to tell related to this.
E c'è una storia che vorrei raccontare che ha a che fare con tutto questo.
Kind of a neorealistic Italian style story.
Mi piacerebbe farla come vecchio cinema italiano neorealista.
So we had a meeting yesterday in
fantascienza, science fiction, and neorealism in Mexico.
So hopefully this will happen.
E speriamo che succeda. Tocchiamo. È molto punk. It's very punk.
Yeah. Un applauso.
Yeah. happening. Night clubbing, we're night clubbing, we're an ice machine. We see people, brand new people, there's something to see.
They suck. Like shit.
Night clubbing, we're night clubbing, and isn't it wild?
I'm a bass player. Yeah, and a singer from a band. LA's the place to be.
What are you doing here?
I'm here to see Sex Pistols, and I'm also here to make the scene like everybody else.
Punk?
Sure, punk's the new thing. Punk's gonna evolve. Punk's changing the world.
It's another rock revolution, just like Elvis, just like the Beatles. Now it's Johnny Rotten and the Sex Pistols and countless others. And we're making kind of like new rules.
From my name is John, and this is the Sex Pistols.
It's an historic event.
Oh, yeah.
with all the money we paid and all the trouble we went through to get out here.
Fuck no, they're garbage, man. Yeah, they're garbage.
I like it for me, but I don't think I'd recommend it to anybody.
All I can say is it was a vicious, rotten thing to do.
I've been living in Italy, and I feel like I really missed this whole movement.
I think I heard one time that they urinate on the audience one time. Why, I don't know. It just sounds goofy.
The pistols are just out of sight. I think they got a lot of balls.
It's about time we got some street fighting men here in America. It's about time we got someone to rile people up.
It's better than homework. It's better than a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, sometimes it's kind of boring in itself, but it's something to do.
How many of you are Sex Pistols holster?
I think it was great. It was short and sweet, the way I like it. Very loud, very energetic, and very nice.
Well, I thought when I saw Johnny Rotten's face, I thought I'd vomit. He's so beautiful.
Sex Pistols are using you the best way possible. I admire them for it. Because they've been factory workers. They'd grow up and do nothing unless they would use the news and use the media to make something of themselves. And that's finally what they're doing, and they deserve it. Y'all are taking pictures of people. They're doing things that normally doesn't happen, but you're making a big thing out of it. And that's what the Sex Pistols are using.
Those guys can't sing worth a shit.
Obviously, that's precisely what I'm against.
In 1920, the Communist Party published a book, Drive Buffalo.
The Sex Pistols are well known to us as thoroughly bad news, and we'd be very circumspect about licensing any concert which they wanted to put on in London. They have appeared in London. They appeared as recently as a couple of months ago, but we imposed pretty stringent conditions on the licensee of the hall where the concert took place.
What were the conditions?
There were 19 pages of them.
Now, when you spread the idea, as it's certainly been spread over this country, and I imagine over your country too, that man has, you know, this right to do whatever he wants when he wants. That is the most regressive, reactionary philosophy that you can ever, ever propagate. And the children are the sufferers. And it's no good trying to deal with punk. You'll never deal with punk. You've got to go back, and you've got to look at what's happening in your society, and you've got to begin to build again. See, I'm not shocked by punk. I'm shamed by it. When I see these youngsters, who should be full of life and fun and adventure, turning to do this, what have we done to the world?
People like me don't never have friends. Because we tell the truth, we don't care a shit about anything else. So people can't relate to us, they're scared, the media's scared to respond to us. No, I ain't got no friends, nobody. I want friends. Don't know, it's nice to know you're different from everyone else. But it has as many damn points as its good points. A lot of times I wish that I was with people and enjoying myself. Might enjoy myself anyway. I get my labour money Thursday. I end up with about £2. Play cards Thursday night. And if I win, I can go and have a drink. If I don't, I can't. And I'll stay in or I'll go and punch off someone.